Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chagiga Daf Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur a little less than halfway down the page, 21 lines from the top. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Beisham Yomer Horiyo Shtei Kesef, where the Mishnah was dealing with the cost, the amount of money one is expected to spend for these two types of sacrifices, the Re'iyah and the Chagigah. Before we continue with the Gemara text, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei, our topic heading, which reads Machloikes Beishamai Beis Hillel. We will see the Mishnah's controversy of Beishamai Beis Hillel Bekamo Mishalmim Avur Ha'ilas Re'iyah V'shalmei Chagigah. How much is one expected to pay to lay out for these sacrifices? The Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Beishamai Omrim Hori'iyah Shtei Kesef, the amount one should spend for the Olas Ria. Now, Ola is a sacrifice that's completely consumed in the fire of the altar. He's supposed to spend two silver pieces for that, V'chagiga Mo'a Kesef, and for the Chagiga, one silver piece. Shoriya, why is it necessary to spend more for the Ria? So Beis Shammai gives us two reasons. Shoriya oila kula legavoa, mashein kein b'chagiga. The Ria is an ola type sacrifice, and it's completely burnt. It goes completely to the Almighty, and not so in the case of the Chagiga, which is a shlomim, a korban shlomim, which is eaten by the owner. The Ode, Motsinu Batseres, Shariba, Bohen HaKosav Ba'oilois, Yoiser, Mi B'Shlomim. And furthermore, we find with regard to the holiday of Atseres, which is Shavuos, where the Torah mandates more Ola offerings than Shlomim. And that is an indicator that the Ola is of greater significance, and hence one should pay more for it. Well, Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel had an opposite approach. Re'iyah Mal Kesef, Chagigah Shtei Kesef. Whereas the Re'iyah, the Olas Re'iyah, one spends one piece of silver, the Chagigah necessitates the spending of two. And Beis Hillel likewise bases their opinion. Number one, She Chagigah Yeshna Lifnei Hadibur Masha'en Kein Re'iyah. You find a Chagigah offering, a Shlomim, being offered before the giving of the Torah. And Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Vayishlach Etznarei B'nei Yisrael, from Shmois Perek Chav Dalet, which although appears in the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, which follows the giving of the Torah, but chronological order is not something that is necessarily the case when reading different chapters of the Torah. So the Rashi points out that the pasuk from Mishpatim actually took place before the giving of the Torah. And there's a principle known as Ein Mukdam U'Muchar B'Torah. So there is, which means there isn't something earlier and something later when you're reading the Torah. So for our purposes, we can say that the Pasuk that describes the offering of shlomim sacrifices appears before the giving of the Torah, giving shlomim added significance. It was something that predates even the giving of the Torah. Not so with regard to the Re'iyah. The source continues, V'oid motzinu banasim shiriba bohen hakosav b'shlomim yoser miba'olos. The Nesiim is a reference to the sacrifices brought by the heads of the different tribes when the Mishkan, when the Mizbeach was being dedicated. And in studying the psukim there, you find there were more shlomim sacrifices offered than olos. And for our purposes, the increased number is reason for added significance. Now, as we go ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice the very balanced structure, and it's featured on the side as well. First of all, before we read our comment of the Mivneh comment on the side, notice we have a squiggle underline under the expression Beis Hillel Mai Taimo, and if you follow a few lines later, Ubeis Shammai Mai Taimo, each one of them is saying why they didn't say like the other. So, we also have in the Gemara diamonds around the expression Deko Amris, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, we note these are Tshuvos Shebeis Shammai Ubeis Hillel Noistim Echod Lasheni Loma Kol Echod Lo Omar Kasheni. These are responses. Each one, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, each one gives to the other why they said what they did and not say like the other. So the Gemara will analyze these things point for point. And you'll also you'll notice that we have numbered the points and they correspond to the points that were mentioned in the source. So we continue now in the Gemara. Ubeis Hillel, Mai Taimo Lo Amri Kebeis Shammai. Why is it that Beis Hillel said what they did and did not accept Beis Shammai's logic? The Koamris Ria Difa, that which was said that Ria is more significant. In other words, that which Beis Shammai claimed that Ria is more significant. The Oyla Kula Lagavoa. As we saw in point one mentioned by Beis Shammai, that the Ola was completely heavenly, heavenwards. Lagavoa means to on high, to the Almighty. It's a sacrifice that's completely burned. The people do not eat from it. Well, if that's what you feel is the point of significance, so Beis Hillel argues, Adarabba, to the contrary, Chagiga Adifa, the Isbo Shtei Achilos. The Chagiga in this very area is more significant in that there are two forms of consumption. When a Chagiga, when a Korban Shlomim is offered, the Shalmei Chagiga, when that is offered, so a portion of that is put in the fire that is burnt heavenwards, and the meat is in fact eaten by the owners. So you have two consumptions. That is greater than the Olas Rio that has only one form of consumption. Udeko Amris Nelif Matzeris, and that which you, Beis Shammai, had argued, well, let's use Shavuos as a precedent, where you saw more Olos than Shlomim. Donin Korban Yochid mi Korban Yochid. We prefer, says Beis Hillel, to learn the rules of Re'iyah from that which you find by the Nesiim. V'ein Donin Korban Yochid mi Korban Sibor. Both the Re'iyah and the Nesiim, which is what Beis Hillel had cited, are private type sacrifice, individual, they're not communal sacrifices. So I'll learn rules concerning the Re, which is a private type sacrifice, from the Nesiim, which were also private type sacrifices, and there we found more emphasis on the Shlomim than on the Olas Re'iyah, than on the Ola. And we do not judge the rules of Re'iyah from Shavuos. The sacrifices brought on Shavuos were public sacrifices. Ubeis Shammai, Mai Taimo Lo Amri Kebeis Hillel. Once again, point for point, why does Beis Shammai assume their position and not that of Beis Hillel? Number one, the Koamris Chagiga Adifa Diyeshna Lifnei HaDibor, that which you claim that Chagiga has added significance in that it predates the giving of the Torah, Rionami Yeshna Lifnei HaDibor, we find an Ola sacrifice being offered before the giving of the Torah as well. So that the Chagiga doesn't have a monopoly on as a pre-Torah offering. There's a Rashi, Re'iyo Nami Yesh Lefnei Adibor, the Oilo Nami Havei Hosam, in the Pasuk cited regarding the Parshas Mishpatim, there was an Ola present there as well. And that Parsha, that section of the Torah, was pre-giving of the Torah. Udeko amris nelef minisim, and that which you say that the nesim should be the precedent of showing added significance to the shlomim, I'm not going to learn from the nesim. Says base shamai donin dover hanoyig ludoros midover hanoyig ludoros. I'm going to derive the re'io, which is something that is binding generationally, one generation after the other, from shavuos, which is something generational, one generation after the other. We ain't done in dover hanoyig ludoros. I'm not going to learn the rules of re'io midover she'eno nohig ludoros from the dedication of the mishkan, which was a one-time event in history where the nesiim brought their offerings. So Beis Shammai is insisting on their position to learn the rules of korban expenditure from that which we find by Shavuos, and not from that which we find by the Nesiim. The Gemara continues with a question that lasts a couple of lines. Ubeis Hillel, my shno chagigo de yesh lefnei adibor dechti vayizbuchu zvachim shlamim. What is different in the mind of Beis Hillel between the Chagiga, which you say was before the giving of the Torah, Lefnei HaDibor, before the giving of the Torah, as the Pasuk there in Parshas Mishpatim says, and they offered Shlomim sacrifices, Rionami Hoksiv Ayalu Olos, but in the same context it says, and they also offered Olos. The Gemara responds, Kosavri Beis Hillel, Oilos Shikriv Yisrael B'Midbar. Beis Hillel is of the opinion that the Ola that was referred to there, that they offered in the desert, Olas Tomid Havoi. It was an Ola offering, but it was the daily Ola offering. And Rashi adds, and as a result, we don't learn from it. It's different. It's a daily type sacrifice, and it doesn't resemble the topic that we are discussing, namely the holiday sacrifice, which was only thrice annually. Beis Shammai Savri, Beis Shammai, who had argued that the Ola was also Lifnei HaDibor, they hold Ola Shikrivu Yisrael Bamidbar, Olas Re'iyo Havoi, that the Ola that was offered there was in fact something that we could call Olas Re'iyo. And Rashi says, even though it wasn't necessarily a holiday per se, but the pasuk says "Vayechezu es olakim." Vayechezu means and they saw, they beheld, they saw the divine presence. So re'iyah has to do with seeing, and hence the term is appropriate for our discussion, which also deals with the olas re'iyah. Omar Abaye. Now at this point, we should note that basically a structural point where Abaye presents two lists, three and three, three Tanoim that hold that the Ola that was offered in the Midbar was an Olas Ria, and three holding like Beis Hillel that it was an Olas Tomid. We should note that this discussion will take us down a good part of Omid Beis. Certainly halfway down the Omid, we will see the names that Abaye lists here, each one appearing in the context of the source in which their opinion is stated. So, Omar Abaye, Beis Shammai, V'Rebbe Yishmoel, V'Rebbe Lazar, Kulhu svira luhu oilo shikriv yisra bamidbar oilas riya havoi. These three opinions hold that the ola that was offered there was an olas riya, and Beis Hillel, the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef Glili, kulhu svira luhu. These three opinions hold oilo shikriv yisra bamidbar oilas tomid havoi. The Ola that was offered there in the desert was an Olas Tomid. Beis Shammai Hodamoran. As far as the opinion of Beis Shammai is concerned, well, we've already stated that. That was where they pointed out that just like the Shlomim was lifnei hadibor, there in the desert before the giving of the Torah, so too was the olas ri'iyah. V'Rabbi Shmuel, the Sanya. Where do we find Rabbi Shmuel holding this, that the Ola in the Midbar was an Olas Re'iyah, as opposed to the daily sacrifice? Tisanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. And we have a Tanaic source that takes us to the third line from the top of Omid Beis. Rabbi Shmuel says, Klolos Nemru Basinai. Klolos is a reference to general laws. The Torah laws were taught without all of the accompanying details. That the klolos were stated b'Sinai at the time of the giving of the Torah. Uprotos b'Oyomoyed. The details waited until the setting up of the Mishkan. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Klolos Uprotos Nemru b'Sinai. At the time of the giving of the Torah, before the setting up of the Mishkan, not only were the principles stated, but also the details. The Nishnu Ba'omoy, they were repeated with the setting up of the Mishkan, V'nishtalshu Ba'arvo Yismov, and they were repeated a third time where Moshe Rabbeinu addresses the people in that location, Arvo Yismov. That is as far as Rabbi Shmuel. We see here that Rabbi Shmuel tells us that the general principles, only the general principles, were stated at Sinai. Ve'i salta daitach, oilo shikriv Yisrael b'midbar, oilo tamid havoi. If one were to think that the olah that was offered there in Sinai at the temple at the foot of Mount Sinai was in fact the daily Ola offering, how could that be that mi'ika midi, could there be anything to me'ikara loboy hefshit v'nituach, that originally hefshit means the removal of the skin, nituach means the dismembering into its various limbs before a sacrifice is offered, that practice was not necessary, ulabasof, and later on that very same type sacrifice, boy hefshit v'nituach, the practice, the laws would change regarding the sacrifice. That can't be. There's consistency. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is concluding that the Ola that was done there, B'Sinai, before the giving of the Torah, was an Ola that they brought on their own. And as such, the details that were stated later on of Hefshet V'Nituach, which were stated with regard to the Olas Tamid, the daily Ola sacrifice, was irrelevant with regard to the Ola that they offered on their own, that in fact is a reference to that Olas Re'iyah. There is a detail that Tosfos points out on the top Tosfos. Let's learn it together. Miko midi de mekoro loboy hefshit, dafko me Olas Tomid ka mebayole. The issue is relevant specifically concerning the daily Ola offering. Mishum ti ikur hefshit ksiv begufei. The primary source for the need of skinning and dismembering is stated with regard to the daily Ola offering. Hence, the fact that Rabbi Shmuel holds that those details of hefshit v'nituach were not stated at this point in time. They were stated only later on. It couldn't be that you would have an Olas Tamid being offered Besinai without Hefshet V'Nituach, and that very same Korban later on would then require Hefshet V'Nituach. Tosfos goes on, Afol Me Olas Riyah, but as far as the Olas Riyah is concerned, Afol Gav, the Emesu, the Tuna Hefshet. In truth, an Olas Riyah also requires skinning and dismembering. Lo kosher le'midi, this wouldn't pose a problem. Kevan de'lav begufei ksiv. The laws of Hefshet V'Nituach are not stated in the context of the Olas Re'iyah. So for the fact that in truth the Olas Re'iyah originally didn't have Hefshet V'Nituach and later on did require it, that wouldn't bother us so much. So now we continue in the Gemara. Rebbe Elazar, he's the third opinion that Abaye lists as holding the Ola that was offered B'Sinai was an Olas Re'iyah. Desanya Olas Tomid Huasuya Bahar Sinai. That's a Pasuk. Rebbe Elazar Omer Masel Nemru B'Sinai V'hi Atzmo Lo Korban. Here we've dashed underlined the main thing. First of all, we're highlighting Rebbe Elazar's name, and he is saying that it itself, the Olas Tomid, was not offered at that point, at Har Sinai. The laws, how it's to be done, were stated, but it itself was not offered there. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Korvo Veshuvlo Poska. Rabbi Kiva disagrees and says the Olas Tomid was offered and it didn't cease. It continued to be offered. Elomani Mekayim Hazvochim Umincho Higashim Li Bamidbar Boim Shana Beis Yisrael. The Pasuk says in Amos, regarding sacrifices and meal offerings, it says in wonderment, did you offer to me over 40 years the sacrifices and meal offerings? Indicating that it did stop during that time. So the Gemara answers, the Brisa says, Shifto Shalevi, Shalo Avdu Avodazora, Hain Hikrivu Osa. The tribe of Levi that did not participate in the golden calf, they offered it, whereas the rest of the nation did not. And Rashi adds one word that's worth noting. Rashi, Shifta Shalevi Hikrivua Mishelohem. They offered it on their own. So and as a nation, it was not offered, but Rabbi Kiva's comment that it was offered and it didn't stop being offered, that's due to the diligence of the tribe of Levi that offered it from their, let's say, from their own resources. Without getting too bogged down in details, once again, we brought this Tanaic source to highlight that Rebbe Elazar is the third of the list of those that hold that the daily Ola offering was not offered at the Mount Sinai incident that we alluded to before. Now we continue with the third, the group of three that Abaye presented as holding that the Ola that was offered there at Sinai was in fact the daily offering. Beis Hillel, Ha Damron, the Beis Hillel, as we've already said, that they gave precedence to the Shalmei, the Shlomim, as being the only one that was offered before the Dibor, as opposed to the Olas Riyah, and that the Ola referred to in the Pasuk as having been offered before the Dibor, that was the Olas Tomid. So here we're simply referring to that comment that we made earlier. Beis Hillel, as we have said, Rabbi Akiva, Ha Nami Damar, Rabbi Akiva also, you can use the arrow here and navigate just a few lines up to the corresponding arrow where we saw Rabbi Akiva saying that it was an Olas Tamid that was offered there at Mount Sinai before the giving of the Torah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Sanya. Now, where do we see Rabbi Yossi Aglili accepting this position? That the Ola that was offered at Sinai before the giving of the Torah was an Olas Tomid, the daily Ola offering. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Sholosh Mitzvos Nistav Yisrael Ba'aloisam Loregel. the three mitzvahs that the Jewish people were commanded with regard to their pilgrimage to, we'll say, the thrice annual pilgrimage. What are the three mitzvahs? Riya, v'chagiga, v'simcha. Riya is the korban ola, the olas riya. The chagiga is a shlomim that's offered on the holiday. And simcha is the requirement of eating meat on the Yom Tov. Yesh b'riya shein b'shtem, v'yesh b'chagiga shein b'shtem, yesh b'simcha shein b'shtem. Each one of these mitzvahs has a feature that you don't find in the other two. And now it's enumerated. Yesh b'riya shein b'shtem. There is an aspect to riya that you don't find in the other. Sharia, oilu kulu l'gavoa, ma she'ein kein b'shtem. The riya is an ola offering, and it goes completely heavenwards. The entire animal is put into the fire. None of it is eaten by the owner, which is not the case with regard to chagiga and simcha, which involve the people eating from them. We say simcha, the term shalmei simcha is appears very often. It's also a type of shlomim. There's more details, though, to the mitzvah of simcha, as we will, mirtzah Hashem, allude to later through our study of the Perek. But the point here is that the Ola is unique, that all of it went heavenwards, not so in the case of the Chagiga and the Simcha. Yesh b'chagiga ma she'ein b'shtehem. You find by the Chagiga something that you don't find by the other two mitzvahs. Shachagiga, and here notice how we've dashed underline Shachagiga, yesh lo lefnei adibor ma she'ein kein b'shtehen. Only the Chagiga, which represents a korban shlomim, that you find before the giving of the Torah, which you do not find by the other two mitzvos, Re'iyah and Simcha. And we've emphasized Re'iyah in our marked Gemaras, so that you see Rabbi Yossi Aglili, whose name we dashed underlined at the beginning, combine it with this point, that only Chagiga was before the Dibor, but Re'iyah was not. So what kind of Ola was before the Dibor? The Olas Tomid. Yesh b'simcha mash'ein b'shtehem. You find by simcha that which you don't find by the other. Simcha neheges banoshim uvenoshim mash'ein kein b'shtehem. Simcha is something that men and women are participatory. Not so with regard to Re'iya and Chagiga. With regard to Re'iya and Chagiga, women are exempt. Having learned Rabbi Yossi Aglili, this gives rise to a question that we will focus on Abaye with regard to the way he presented Rabbi Yishmael. Notice, first of all, we have a long question marking. According to Abaye, there were three that maintained the position that the Ola that was offered at Sinai before the Dibor, three that held it was an olas re'iya. One of those three, of course, there was Beis Shammai, and grouped together with Beis Shammai was Rabbi Shmuel. Now we should note that Beis Shammai, generally speaking, represents an opinion that is not accepted lehalocha, is not accepted as a final opinion, if you will. According to the way Abaye set matters up, it comes out that Rabbi Shmuel ends up holding like Beis Shammai. Now that's an uncomfortable position to be in. What made Abaye present Rabbi Shmuel like that? So as we learned earlier, and now the Gemara will review that which we've learned earlier in leading up to the questions. Now let's turn to the text. For Rabbi Shmuel, my taima Kalmukmis lay kebeis Shammai. Why did Abaye set up Rabbi Shmuel like Beis Shammai? So the following is what we learned earlier. E salka daitach the oilas shikrivu Yisrael b'midbar oilas tomer avoy. If one were to think that the ola that was offered there in the midbar in Parshas Mishpatim before the giving of the Torah was the daily ola sacrifice. Mi iko midi, could it possibly be that there is something to make koro lo boy hefshet finituach, ulubisov boy hefshet finituach? that that very same type of sacrifice, the Olas Tomid, beforehand didn't require Hefshet V'Nituch, and afterwards it would require Hefshet V'Nituch. After all, Rabbi Shmuel is the one that said that at Sinai the details were not stated. They were stated only practically a year later when the Mishkan was set up. Only then were the details stated. So, as a result of this, let's say, unwillingness to have the same type korban undergo change in procedure, Rabbi Shmuel felt, as Abaye presented him, that the Ola there at Sinai was not the Olas Tomid, was rather the Olas Riyah. Well, if that's true, Vaha Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Omar Oilo Shikrivi Soba Midbar Olas Tomid Havoi, here you've got Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who was convinced that the Ola that was offered at Sinai was the Olas Tomid. Meikara lo boy hefshet v'nituach. Originally, it didn't require skinning and dismembering. Ulebesof boy hefshet v'nituach, and subsequently, later on, it did require. It underwent that change. Tisanya, Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, Oila shikriv Yisrael b'midbar, the Ola that was offered there in the Midbar. And we have to emphasize, we proved before, we demonstrated, we showed a source in which Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that that Ola was the Olas Tomid. We had seen before that the Chagiga was before the Dibor, but not the Olas Riyah. So what Ola was there? That was the Olas Tomid that was before the Dibor. So Rabbi Yossi says that the Ola that they offered in the Midbar, which was the Olas Tomid, Eino Tuna Hefshet V'Nituach, did not require skinning and dismembering. Lefi Shein Hefshet V'Nituach, Elo Me'ol Me'Ve'elech. The requirement of Hefshet V'Nituach was only from the setting up of the Mishkan onwards. So we see a very clear Tanaic opinion that the change factor doesn't play a role in his reasoning. In other words, the fact that change took place is not reason for denying the identity of that Ola as being an Olas Tomid. So the way Abaye presented Rabbi Shmuel before was that because of that change factor, it could not have been the Olas Tomid. Here we have a Tanaic authority, which is stronger, of course, than Abaye. We have a Tanaic authority that says that even though there was a change transformation factor in the way it was processed, that is not reason for changing or for holding that the identity is anything other than it being an Olas Tomid. So is that not a problem for Abaye? The Gemara says, yes, it is. And Sami Mikan, Rabbi Yishmael, delete. Sami is delete Rabbi Yishmael from the list of those that claim that the Ola that was offered b'fnei HaDibor had to have been an Olas Re'iyah. Not so. It could very well have been an Olas Tomid, the daily Ola offering. As we go on, we have a question. It's a long question. Boy, Rav Chisda, Haikra Hechiksiv. We're making reference to that pasuk that we alluded to before, we saw in Rashi, which featured the offering of sacrifices at the foot of Mount Sinai before the giving of the Torah. Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk is featured over here. Before we read the actual Gemara text, you do see where the pasuk begins. Basically, you have two and a half lines of pasuk quote. There's one word that appears in brackets. Now, that word is not part of the pasuk. What the Gemara is going to be interested in analyzing is how is one to understand this pasuk. There is reference in the scripture to words appear vayalu oilois vayizbuchu zvochim shlomim lashem porim. How is one to read this pasuk? And there's a practical halachic nafkamina, as we will allude to later. So Rav Chisda asks, this pasuk heichitziv, how are we to understand? How is it to be understood? It says vayishlach es nari bnei Israel vayalu oilois. The young people that were present there, they offered olos. Are we to understand that those olos are kvasim? Now again, the word kvasim is not in the pasuk, but it's a suggestion. That's why we call this aleph. This is the aleph suggestion. We have two possibilities. This is the first one. Are we to understand that the olos offered there were sheep? Vayizbechu, the pasuk continues and says, Vayizbechu zvochim shlomim lashem porim. There were also shlomim sacrifices that were in the form of cows. So according to this way of approaching it, the olos, those types of, those sacrifices that were completely burnt, they were sheep. The shlomim were cows. Oy dilma, or possibly, edi, the edi, porim havu. Both the olos and the shlomim were porim. The word porim that appears at the end of the pasuk, according to this, is a throwback not only to the shlomim, but to the olos mentioned even earlier. Lamai nafkamina, what difference does it make? What difference does it make for us in defining olos as either kvasim or porim? So we have two practical outcomes. Number one, marzut shomar lepisuk ta'amim. It has a reference to the way we cantillate the Torah reading. There are cantillation marks or tunes that appear in Chumashim. Many would refer to it as the trup for the Torah reading. If you and certain cantillation marks or cantillation notes indicate to make a pause, and other kinds indicate otherwise, that it represents, it's a tune that represents continuity as opposed to a pause. Rashi refers to the cantillation note that we call the Esnachta or the Zokef Kotten. Those are the names of specific cantillation notes. Those are notes that appear in Chumashim for Torah, for the purpose of Torah reading. They indicate pause, so that if the olos are something other than other than Purim, but rather they're sheep offerings, so that would be good reason for pausing at that point, being that there's a distinction between the type of animal offered as an ola versus the type of animal that was offered as a shlomim. So you pause between the two. If, however, the olos and the shlomim were all the same type of animal, they were cow offerings, so then you wouldn't pause between the two. You'd rather want to have that type of cantillation, which does not indicate a pause. Both items are essentially the same type of animal. So that's Marzutra's nafkamina, point of, let's say, difference between how to analyze. Number two, we continue in the Gemara of Acha Brei Derava Omar. Rav Acha says that there would be a practical nafkamina, le'oimer, regarding one who takes upon himself a vow, and he says as follows. He says, Hare olai oila ka'oila shikrivu Yisrael b'midbar. I take upon myself in vow form to bring an ola as the ola that they offered there in the desert at the foot of Mount Sinai. My. Well, if the person vowed to bring an ola like they did, you have to know, Porim havu o kvasim havu. Were they cows or were they sheep? And that, of course, will depend on the way we are to understand the pasuk. If you say vayalu olos means kvasim, so this person who vowed to bring an ola like they brought in at the foot of Sinai, he would have to bring a sheep offering. If, however, the Torim at the end of the pasuk refers not only to the shlomim but to the olos as well, and there's no reference to sheep. So a person who vowed thusly would have to bring a cow ola offering. Teku. So as far as the question Rav Chisda raises, the answer remains elusive to us right now. It remains unresolved. Before we conclude our shiur, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.